Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
This piece was brought to you by Roberta's, robertaspizza.com.
I'm Damon Bolte, host of The Speakeasy. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
You dig it, we're back here in Bushwick on another summer day, and Tommy Simon surfs up today. What's happening?
It was up yesterday. I went out yesterday. I don't know. I didn't have time to check the waves. I had a gig last night. I'd get up in the morning and come down here, you know?
Last we talked on the phone, you were watching a couple Ho Dads wipe out, I think you told me. Hey,
yeah.
We're back here on Arts and Seizures with a real New York hero. We've had so many great cats on the show before, but Simon, you are number one. This is Simon Chartier, also known as Simon Bar Sinister, for my money, pound for pound, the best working guitar player in the world, Simon. I'm really happy you're here. We've known each other for a million years, and it's taken too long to get you on here. This is going to be like the greatest episode of Arts and Seizures yet. I can feel it.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, man. So for those of you who have somehow been living in a cave and never stepped into a bar where, and you are you're the best working bar band as well. I mean, the Bar Sinisters, not to mention the Rooftoppers, occasionally the Supertones, but the art of being in a bar band is like a dead thing. People don't really get that anymore. Of course, there aren't as many bars to play in anymore. But if you've been living somewhere at the fringes of society and haven't stumbled into some gin mill where Simon has been playing, he's been working his band, Simon and the Bar Sinisters, for many years, of course. The Supertones, which I think breaks out in the summer for their big surf sound, and your sort of bebop band, the Rooftoppers, which are also amazing. We saw you at Sonny's in Red Hook last week. But yeah, man, you are the king of surf and punk and rockabilly and jump blues, and he's got his guitar plugged in here, and we're just going to have a fucking good time today.
Yeah.
So where does it all start, yeah. Simon? What's I mean, your resume is like ridiculous. All the people that you've played with, let alone your own things. I thought maybe we just start with a song and get these people hip to the Simon thing. All right, what do you got for us?
This is originally done by Cletus Harrison, and he goes like, "Well, I work all day, can't save a dime. Go out Friday, have a time. Go into a party, spend all my loot. Monday morning, gotta pull my suit. That's why. Rock and roll in the groove. Woo! Well, the daddy told me, Charlie gotta prove. Well, now, one, twice, three, top four, top five. Get out of my face, talking all that jive. Told you last week and the week before, pay me the rent or I'll push you out of doors. One for the money, two for the show. If you can't pay the rent, child, let the place go. Go ride. Rock and roll in the groove. Woo! And the landlady told me, Charlie gotta move. Thank you. inside, you gotta
Daddy, yeah, can you dig it? Simon Chartier, wow. So for all the gearheads out there, what actually is this rig you're playing that sounds so entirely badass?
It's a guitar Rick Kelly made it for me. It looks
an awful lot like a Telecaster from what I'm
saying. It's a Bowery Pine Telecaster, but it's not a Fender. It's made by Rick Kelly, Carmine Street Guitars, Carmine Street off of Bleecker. And it's made out of old buildings from New York. Like this is pine. The very first Telecasters in like 1950 were made out of pine.
That's got a big knot right in the middle of it too. That wouldn't have come out of the Fender custom shop with that knot.
No, it was like out of a roof of this building in the Bowery, and then the neck is from the Chelsea Hotel when they tore it up. So it's like I don't know what part of the hotel, but it's from the Chelsea Hotel. I have quite a history with the Chelsea Hotel, starting when I played the Squat Theater with Ivan Julian. We were opening for Nico, and then I was about 18 or 19 years old, so I was playing with Ivan, I ran into this woman that was much older than me, that was a friend of Nico's, and we'll leave it at that, you know, but it was the Chelsea Hotel. It's always been like kind of... like I never lived there or anything, but like when I was working for Didi Ramone, he lived there. Tim from the Supertones still lives there, and I used to hang out at that guitar store they got. I still do the guitar store.
So it's Chelsea Guitars.
Yeah, it's kind of like a part of my history. There used to be a donut shop on the corner with these greasy donuts. You know, now it's like some kind of fancy. Like, get a stale cannoli for $8 joint, you know.
Are you kidding? I believe that's the donut place. That was Al Goldstein's favorite donut place. And when he was trying to lose some weight, he went in there and bribed the guy $500 not to ever give him another donut. Again, if he came in begging, don't give him a donut. But then he was back in a week later with another $500 to say, please, give me a donut. There used to be donut shops all over the place. Disco Donut, I remember too. On
Disco Donut, yeah, Disco Donut was great.
Right under Carmelita's Reception House. Those were
Carmelita's Reception House. Yeah.
Those were different times.
I hate to say it, but like back in high school, you know, I think my father used to give me like $5 or $10, and I think we used to make some of them joints down there, Carmelita's Reception House. You know. We used to go down to – we used to walk down to 40 Deuce all the time. There's a lot of stories with that place too, man. That place is pretty wild. The hookers used to flash us when we were kids. They'd have in these mink coats in the summer. And we used to go down there and watch the Marines and the Sailors fight, which would always happen. And then, you know, if you're a lovelorn youth, for $10 you can kind of temporarily, you know, get some relief down in 40 Deuce, you know. I guess
$10 used to mean something in this town.
Oh yeah. Now I heard these yuppies talking about cake donuts, and I was coming over and they were talking about it. Well, it's more like a cake donut. It's kind of like a fluffy cake donut. It's like, listen, why are you intellectually dissecting all the fine points of different donuts? It's a donut. Just like eat it and then shut up.
It's what you were calling before the douchocracy of New York, and we've kind of sat here and watched it take over. We do a lot of shows here at Arts and Seizures. We call it Dude, Where's My New York?
Dude, where's my New York? Se fue, man. Se fue. Se fue. It's ver fallen. It's verkackt.
Ya
you know?
No, ya no yeah. existe. Joder.
Yeah.
Doo-wop, bebop, and punk rock.
Yeah. Them kind of musics all came out of New York originally. Doo-wop started in New York, you know, in Brooklyn. And bebop was invented by Charlie Parker when he moved to New York. You know, he brought bebop with him, and it took hold here first. Punk rock started here. I love British punk rock, but I don't care what anybody says. Punk rock started in Forest Hills, man, with the Ramones, right then and there. So that's, you know, the first punk rock band I ever saw, the first two was I saw the Electric Eels in 1974, and I saw Blondie in 1975. Those were like the first two punk rock bands I ever saw.
Yeah, and you think you consider Blondie a punk rock band? I mean, even
they were back then. They were.
It's always been like a pop band to me. I mean, I like Blondie as far as it goes, but to me, you know, they're a pop band. They got on the disco bandwagon pretty much as soon as you know, it was expedient for them commercially. I think
Debbie's a punk though. In heart. Here's the thing. Back then, it's like now we have this revisionist. Back then, okay, everything was there was like this.
you know, back like in the early 70s, right? Everything was kind of like this. It was like Fleetwood Mac or like Genesis or like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, Foreigner was the biggest band in the country.
Then you had the dirtbag hippie bands. I don't know. In New York, the Grateful Dead was for mean guys with long hair that like to beat people up, usually from Queens. So it was like, you know, you had the whole Central Park, like, band shell, Grateful Dead head scene, Hot Tuna. See, I liked Hot Tuna more than the Dead. I was more of a Hot Tuna guy because they were louder and raunchier. You know what I mean? And, you know, they were like, so I was more of a Hot Tuna guy. There was no punk rock. And then when these bands came out that were like an antidote to like, you know, all that, that
Stadium excess and
Uncle Albert. And Uncle Albert. What does, what does that hump have to do with rock and roll? You know? I mean, that's when you knew.
You know, the Beatles and Paul McCartney. Oh, my God. I mean, for such, you know, icons, their bad song to good song ratio was appalling. I mean, for every good thing that they did, for every year of blues, they got to come out with Obladi Oblada or Rocky Raccoon or something that really just, like, takes the whole thing down.
Yeah, my first rock and roll, I heard Wooly Bully, right? And then I heard King of the Road. I loved that song when I was a little kid. Then I was on the bus going to, I think, first grade, and this kid had a radio, and Wooly Bully came on. He lied to me. He told me it was the Beatles. So I thought Sam the Sham and the Pharaoh were the Beatles. So I loved Sam the Sham and the Pharaohs. I didn't realize that they weren't the Beatles. You know, I was a kid, you know. This kid lied to me.
I think if the Beatles had, like, dressed up like Egyptian sheiks, they, you know, they might have lasted a little longer.
I've been lied to my whole life, and this was the start of it.
Yeah, yeah. I'll tell you what, why don't we hit another song, because you're bringing the truth today. I can't believe before we started, you gave me your book, such as it is, the Simon and the Bar Sinister set list, which is it's like a Chinese menu. There are like 1,700 options on it. I mean, you've got more songs on your set list. I mean, let this be a lesson to my own band. I mean, we've got a 17 song repertoire. This guy's got 1,700.
It's not 1,700. You're exaggerating, young man.
Just a little bit.
268 songs.
Yeah, that's just the Bar Sinister set list. Plus, I have this other well-worn Samizdat sort of looking fanzine that's all bebop songs that you play with the Rooftoppers.
Yeah, that's what I always wanted. You know, when I was a kid, jazz was really big in New York, and you could still go see, like, Duke Ellington. I saw him play. I saw Mingus. I saw Count Basie. That's like when Count Basie was leading the band, when Duke was leading the band. When I was, my parents went to the Atlantic City, and I was wandering around Atlantic City, and I was just a little 10-year-old fat kid, and I wandered out onto this pier, and I heard this music, and I walked in, and it was Duke Ellington and his orchestra playing to an empty room. There was nobody there. There was nobody listening. It's like, that's how come I can kind of be okay with the way the music business is, because if Duke Ellington was playing a gig and there was nobody there, it's like, if I got two people that are going to listen to me, I feel grateful, because Duke Ellington, he had ugats that day. I came in, and I knew it was Duke Ellington, and they were playing Take the A-Train. They had their band uniforms on. They were swinging their asses off. I don't know who was in the band in 1969, but wow. And I saw Duke Ellington, and then Sonny Stitt. We used to go down to 40 Deuce all the time, right? And we walked down to 40 Deuce, and then Sonny Stitt would play this place. It was like this pimp and hustler bar on 49th Street between Broadway and 8th Avenue. And I used to go in, and I'd hear like one half of a song, and I'd get thrown out. So I used to do that all the time. And after a while, the guy would let me in, listen to one song, and he'd be like, "You got to go. You got to go." So I got to hear Stitt, and you know, you could walk around a corner and you hear this noise, and it would be Sun Ra Orchestra playing in a Central Park band shell or the Jazzmobile or Art Blakey and the Jazz Messengers, like, all the time. They were everywhere.
I saw the Jazz Messengers when I first moved to New York, and obviously I'm much, 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 much younger than you, but this was in 1981, I think, and they were playing at the Intermediate Theater. It was one of the last of the old vaudeville theaters in the Lower East Side. It was on 2nd Avenue. Now it's a multiplex cinema. The big room there at that theater on 2nd Avenue, I guess 13th Street, you could still see the proscenium of the old stage. But, and no one I knew wanted to go with me to see the Jazz Messengers. I might have been talking, you know, Chinese or Martian or something.
Yeah.
I was like, Art Blakey and the Jazz Messengers. And the room was like, yeah, it was about a third full. And he had his big band. I think Marsalis was the band leader then. He was just coming up. And there was no one there because no one wanted to hear jazz. Punk rock had already been co-opted by that point. You know, it was like new wave dance music. And That's sort of become a shopping mall phenomenon and not something from the Bowery. Speaking of which, though, one of the great things, you know, why I dig your act so much, Simon, is because you do play punk rock next to the bebop, next to surf music, and when we go see your bebop band, the Rooftoppers, I mean, you're just as likely to bust out with some rockabilly or jump and jive.
So, yeah, we always, at the end, we always say, we're jazz musicians. We don't play that rock and roll garbage. And then they did that last night. We did like...
Yeah, and I've also seen you do Johnny Thunders covers and Dead Boy covers, right? You know, right next to the Duke Ellington stuff. So speaking of Duke, maybe is there something from Duke on this list we can whip out a little jazz for the kids out in Radioland?
We'll do a little jazz. I got to stand up here.
All right. Well,
I got this.
Liz in the booth has got you well covered, I think.
Yeah, okay. No, I had to just get this rigatoni, this squiggly cable. All right. This is Duke Ellington, all right? So let me see. All right, here we go. I let a song go out of my heart. It was the sweetest melody. Now I lost my music, 'cause you were the song. Ever since we've been apart, life don't mean nothing to me. Come back, oh sweet music, I know I was wrong. Is it too late? Could this be the end? You know we was meant to be more than friends. Let a song go out of my heart. Too late, I have learned. I won't have no music until you return.
And there isn't a dry seat in the house when you play that one. That's that's what we used to call a real panty pleaser, numbers like that. Well, I'll tell you what, we got so much to talk about. I want to talk about more about jazz and bebop. We haven't talked about Bo Diddley, Sleepy the Beef, Andre Williams, and, of course, your Italian playing band. But we're going to take a quick break here on Arts and Seizure. We are, as ever, broadcasting from Heritage Radio Network in Bushwick. And don't forget, this is member-supported, so if you're digging what you hear and you're listening on the computer, please push the button. button that says donate or be a member, and maybe Simon will come on over to your house and play a couple tunes for you. But we're going to take a quick break. We got a song that you picked out for us today, Simon. Cody Brennan with Roy Buchanan.
Roy Buchanan on the guitar. Now listen to the middle of it when the amplifier blows up. Right at the end of his solo, you can hear all the speakers blowing out, and he kept going. And listen to his tone. He is just the sickest guy out there. Roy Buchanan, when he was young, and when he was young and hungry, that he was just the most. He was focused, tight, but raw and emotional. He was the greatest session guy ever. You know, he could pack more into two notes than anybody.
All right, we're gonna blow it up right now here on Arts and Synthesis of Seizures.
Roberta's, a super duper awesome place. Roberta's is a very, 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 very proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. We're also super awesome. Thank you, Heritage.
All right, crazy days here on Arts and Synthesis of Seizures. Mike Edison broadcasting live from Bushwick with the great Simon Chartier. Maybe you know him as Simon Bar Sinister. He is, he's the man. And, I, you know, last time, we were playing my band, the Garden State Social Club. We were playing out in your home turf out at Rockaway, and man, I could not believe the longboard that you carry. I mean, yeah. I think it's bigger than like any station wagon I've ever seen in my life.
That was like a 10-foot balsa wood board. I have big ones. I have a 10-6. I just like them really, really long boards. I mean, I'm only 5'4" and 135 pounds. Well, 5'4½, but I just took to the real long boards, like 10-6, 10-4. I love them.
That's good. And, man, but you're like, you're out there surfing. Like, I mean, the rest of us are like, you know, deep under the blankets, like buried in our, you know, in bed watching Sunday morning cartoons. And you're out there riding the waves, man.
I was in the newspapers this winter for surfing in that blizzard, that big blizzard that hit New York. Well, it wasn't as big as they thought, but I went out there. And they had a picture of me, like, in the snow. Like, it was so cold that day. And this other day I went out, it was 12 degrees. That was, like, me and this other guy, Eric, he's a retired firefighter. He's, like, in his 60s. And it was just me and him. We were like, don't fool with the old school.
We have so much to talk about, and we're gonna break with the Arts and Seizures tradition. Of course, it is always the fastest 30 minutes on the internet. But if you want to stick around, why don't we do another show after this one, and we can talk about all these like awesome 50 cats you played with. I want to talk about Bo Diddley. I want to talk about all the doo-wop bands you've played with. the Alaska hurricane, all this crazy stuff. But while we're talking about surfing, I know you had you've composed a special song, a little message for your friends.
yes, this is these people came down to Rockaway just to grab a bunch of money and exploit the place. They don't care about nobody there but themselves. They're just trying to exploit it and make a bunch of money off it. And God knows where, all of a sudden after Hurricane Sandy, they had a boatload of dough. God knows where they got it. And they sure were very rude and disrespectful to me, so I'll be well chuffed to slag them off right now on the radio. I'm talking about the Rockaway Beach Surf Club and Rockaway Taco. I wrote this song about them, and it's at them, as songs and words are my weapons. And it's called Doucheocracy, Government by Douchebags.
All right.
Simon Chartier, bring it on. Whip it out. Right.
This is a douchocracy. This ain't no democracy. This is an oligarchy. You're part of the hierarchy. The biggest douche goes to the front of the line. Stand up to him if you've got any spine. Punch him in the face. Don't have no regrets. Give by him a fucking debt. This ain't no democracy. This is an oligarchy, and you're part of the hierarchy. I've been trying to talk myself into thinking that you don't suck, but it's not working. You suck. Every time I go outside, douchocracy, they're arrogant and snide. Douchocracy, entitlement. Douchocracy, daddy pays the rent. Douchocracy, we are living in a douchocracy. This ain't no democracy. This is a oligarchy. You're part of the hierarchy.
Yeah. Tell them the truth here. Sunday at Roberta's.
It's a new song. I don't know it that good yet.
Well, it's more complex than the usual bebop. listen,
punk rock is just as hard to play. All kinds of music I find equally difficult. They all take a lot of work.
Well, you know, I mean, everybody in the world wants to make pizza. So how come so many people make so much shitty pizza? I mean, there are three ingredients. How do you fuck it up? And yet,
yeah, ketchup, Wonder Bread, and salt.
Before we go on part one of the great Simon Chartier experience, tell us where we can come see you play. I know you got some gigs coming up, and then we're going to set back the clock and do this all again. Everybody can tune in maybe next week to hear part two of this. And we're going to talk about Diddley. We're going to talk some guitars for all the gearheads out there. But let me know where we can go see you right now.
Okay, I'm playing this Thursday, 14th of May, Dirk the Norseman's. And
that's in Williamsburg.
Yeah, I when it said Norseman, I thought it was a dog whistle for white supremacists, but it's not. It's Dirk the Norseman's. It's on 15th Street, North 15th Street and Kent Avenue, where like Kent turn the name changes to Franklin, just to confuse you, but it's like Kent and North 15th. In Williamsburg, and
the Viking section,
over there, and but we start at 8, we're done at 11, so you can catch the last L train back. You know, you won't have to wait like de Blasio had to wait. You can catch the last L train back to your condominium. But please come see us, Dirk the Norseman, and you know. And it's a big place. There's room to dance.
That's the Bar Sinisters, right?
That's Simon and the Bar Sinisters.
So you're going to get a big big adult dose of all of the above. As ever, it's been the fastest half hour on the internet on Arts and Seizures. And Simon, thanks. But we're going to stick around. We're going to do it all over again. I've been telling you, we've had some like pretty heavy cats on the show. We had Bobby Keys, the Rolling Stones. We've had members of the Captain Beefheart's band on here. Our friend John Spencer has been on here, who you've played with Heavy Trash. We're going to talk about that too. But this is the first time we've ever done a doubleheader. So we're going to to sign off for now, but you're going to stick around. We're going to get some pizza in here, right? Because I said this is not NPR, no pizza radio. This is Arts and Seizures, where we take care of our guests. We treat musicians with respect. Always here on Arts and Seizures. So for now, Mike Edison, for Liz in the Booth, and the great Simon Chartier, we're going to see you real soon. Hasta pronto.
It's Zeit für Fressen.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.
Hey, it's Francis Lam, host of The Splendid Table. Every week on our show, we talk about food and cooking and the meanings of food and cooking. We talk with the most interesting people in food about their techniques, their culture, and everything in between. Whether it's about how fried chicken took over the world or how Instagram changes the way people are actually eating. It's a food show where everyone is welcome. Come join us. You can listen to The Splendid Table wherever you get your podcasts.